ESPN Kansas City presents Golf Underground, powered by Mariner Wealth Advisors, helping you navigate your financial future.
Welcome back to the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio, Kansas City. And, you know, we've been out of the studio in a couple of weeks, and your boys Sully and Wardo are back from the road.
Straight from
Scottsdale comes Wardo playing in the Whisper Rock member guest, which is one of the fancier golf clubs, which usually when you are coming in off of an airplane, you're not playing a Muni.
It was definitely it's just about the hang. And our guest today is going to talk a lot about what makes the hang and what makes the Whisper Rock such a great place. But yeah, and you sure had a nice little adventure.
We did. We went down Thursday for the Legends, the Bass Pro Shop Legends of Golf, and it was off the chart. So we played Thursday. I was telling you, at this Buffalo Ridge, and I was really bad, by the way. But I told you, I got screwed up.
You got with a client golf, bud.
Played client golf with a very nice man. Wonderful, wonderful man. But I was all excited to go out there, shoot a nice round, you know, kind of like the last time I played with you. Better. Wanted to play better. And his first three shots went perfectly right, and it went into the Buffalo Ridge several times.
So, in other words, you find it harder to focus with somebody like that versus maybe a Woodland or a Colt Nost or even our buds from KU.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of fires me up. But this, after about three holes, I'm definitely going to need the Tito's. Went right to the Tito's. I became a great questioner, a really good listener, learned a lot about products. And then my game got better. It was a really simple formula. But then we move straight from there. We get to the Hilton Hotel, and we sit down with Lee Jansen, two-time U.S. Open winner, and Rocco Mediate, who was off the charts funny. He is an absolute cartoon character.
Yeah, I'm bummed I missed that one. That sounds like amazing.
We talked a lot about you, though.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. You haven't seen the video yet.
I've seen parts of it. I've been a little busy trying to get caught up since then, but yeah.
And then, listen, remember you and I, we were kind of going back and forth, and our boy Aaron Fleener, who was last week's guest on the Golf Underground.
Oh, yeah.
Tell the listeners what he did.
Well, he popped up on Saturday morning during the match play, or during the team competition down in New Orleans, and sung, what did he sing?
Baton Rouge. By Garth.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that funny? Now, you and I have to get credit for this. You understand this.
Yes.
Right?
We're taking credit. I actually sent him a message right after I saw it on social media. So.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, no. Then he hit us up. Anyways, listeners. So Aaron Fleener, we had him on last week. We recorded this during the NCAA championships, and we had him come into the studio. And, interviews can be fun, and he's a very fun guy. But he made the mistake of telling us that he is an amazing singer. Now, what do you do when a guy says he's an amazing singer and he's got a microphone in front of him, Wardo?
You ask him to sing.
You ask him to sing. And I asked, what's your favorite song? He said, Baton Rouge by Garth. I said, do it. And, you know, he was reluctant. His body got a little shivery. His face, you know how you get the blood, the capillaries, and the nose start flaring up? That happened to him. And then he belts out Baton Rouge. Well, wouldn't you know it, at the Zurich Classic this week, did you see how they did walk-in songs for each team?
Yeah.
And did you hear it was JT, the bag he was carrying, picked Baton Rouge because he heard Fleener sing it on our show.
We want posted on the show then.
We have to. No lie. So he heard it, right? Because he heard Fleener sing it, said, we're going to use this as our walk-in song. But he didn't tell Fleener that there's a microphone waiting for you. He went to the PGA staff and said, when I walk out, don't just play the song. You got to give the mic to my caddy.
So good.
And there he was. He was belting it all from the Golf Underground. We've made him a famous caddy.
That's what you do for people, Sully.
It's not. I mean, it was his showtime, his moment.
Well, speaking of caddies, we've got another great one on the show today. He actually he caddied for me and Mike Illig for, gosh, four of the nine-hole matches this weekend at Whisper Rock. Mr. Steve Hawker, a.k.a. VP, which we'll get into. So, again, you're going to help launch Hawker's career here with this show, too.
Yeah. Hey, Hawker, nice to meet you, my friend.
Hey, Sully. Wardo, thanks for having me on. Super hyped to be on the show. It's kind of surreal right now, but hope that you guys hear me well. Everything good?
Yeah.
Good there with you guys?
Your money.
You're famous. I mean, he was texting me pictures throughout this tournament, and I could tell both of you, well, neither one of you were sober. I mean, you look like two gangsters. I thought it was actually Kid Rock and Timberlake down at the Bass Pro Shop gig, because you guys were like two freaks together.
We definitely.
We had some good moments out there. I mean, well, the whole time was a blast. That tournament is unreal. Like this, the whole place, Whisper Rock in general. You know, the members, everybody there, their guests. What a like fabulous place to like be a part of. And I mean, Wardo, you know, just she's played in that event, so like it's, you know, I don't get to go behind the scenes in the, you know, the pro show or the clubhouse with you, but you know, it's the whole time, the whole experience is great, and I think you would, you know, you'd agree with me on that.
Yeah, it's just a world class event. They can't really do much of a better job from just the experience with the caddies, right? Or the food, just the way they do it, it's world class. So it was a great event.
What makes it so good, Wardo? I'll ask both of you, Hawker. Right. So you see it from the caddy perspective, and I have an affinity for caddies because I grew up a caddy, and the guy to my left here, Wardo, grew up a good golfer. So if you can't be a good golfer, you become a caddy, maybe like me. Now, you're probably a better golfer than I, but there's two ways you looked at it. You said Wardo gets to go behind the scenes, but isn't behind the scenes and the caddy hanging out with the caddies more fun than hanging out with a bunch of rich stiffs?
The answer is yes.
I love hanging out with my boys in the shack. I've learned a lot. You know, I've only been there about, this is my third season, and I've got to say, like, some of the guys who've been there a really long time, I've learned a lot of good things from them, and like how to handle certain people, like what to say to certain members, who you know, talk trash to, who not to.
Right.
You know, it's you know, you got to learn. You know, I've kind of learned in 3 years that, you know, you've got to pick and choose who you kind of talk trash to and who you've got to kind of be quiet and keep your mouth shut. And sometimes, you know, for me it's hard because I'm a talker, and Wardo knows this, like I'm good for about, and actually Illig Mike said this at the end of the tournament. He was like, you know, Hawker, you're good for about six stupid comments around, but just keeps us going, like you just, you know, making us laugh and having a good time. I'm pretty you know, happy to have the boys for four of the five rounds. That doesn't happen. A lot of good shots out there. I remember pretty much all of them, you know, from the good and the bad and the ugly. So
don't you team up with your caddy for the whole gig? I know a lot of the member guests I play, you got your guy. What do? They kind of pimp you out? Like, is the highest bidder gets Hawker?
No. So it's kind of like a random draw with these tournaments. They kind of want to keep it fair. They don't let anyone really request anybody. So there's three caddies in each flight. You know, we were in the championship flight, the Wyatt Earp flight, and I had never been in the championship flight in any of the tournaments. And when we got to that first tee of the first round, you know, they're teeing it back on number one on the lower. That's 487 yards.
Yeesh.
I was like, well, here we go. You know, both Illig another guy block it right, and I'm in the desert. Don't find either one of their balls right out of the gate. You know, I'm like, shit, I'm a horrible caddy right out of the gate. I can't even find the balls in the desert. It's a two-horse race on the first hole, and just like every match, Illig and Wardo go one down after one, and you know, it's a grind. It's a grind the whole way for them, but they had a lot of good shots. I mean, you know, a lot of pops given. Wardo had to give up strokes in every match, and well, there was one match I think you got a pop, but I don't know if it mattered or not, because the other guy that got a stroke got four for three like you did. But
yeah,
on top of that, you know. Like, there's a couple of good shots I want to let you know, Sully, that Wardo's in the, let's see, what was it, eight on the, it was the par five. He went for the green in two. You smother hooked a two iron into the shit. You find it. It's, you know, it's in a bush, and he's looking at me. You know, what do I do? Like an explosion shot? You know, he's crying about his new lob wedge. He doesn't want to scratch his new lob wedge up. So he's like, hey, what about the 56-degree explosion shot? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. You know, it explodes this bush, ball gets up over this tree, lands on the green with some left to right spin, you know, ends up about a foot from the hole. I'm hooting and hollering, going, da-na-na, da-na-na, top 10, here we go. And his partner, Illig, he yells over at me from the other side of the green. He's like, you liked that one, Shocker, didn't you? And I was like, hell yeah, it was pretty good. It's pretty good.
Oh, my God. It just what he needs, right? A cheering section to get him going.
I needed it, actually, because that was one of our first matches, and I was struggling. So I needed all the encouragement I could get from VP. So, hey, VP, what in your opinion makes it a great caddy, in your opinion? I know the answer on why I like working with you, but what makes a great caddy?
Well, in my mind, I've been around the game since I was five. I'm 32 years old, and I've been playing, started caddying, you know, like a few years ago. But from what I've learned and from the guys like that I've been around, keeping, like, being able to read your player and knowing when to talk and when not to talk, you know, knowing, like I said earlier, knowing when to shoot the shit with a guy, knowing when not to, you know, like, you know, with you, Wardo, you and I, we can have a good time, and, you know, it all depends on your attitude, like the player's attitude, you know, like when they hit a bad shot, what you're going to say next to them. But, you know, like, there's a moment I can think on, God, I remember all these shots you hit. I was behind you. This was the round I didn't caddy for you. It was the last round. We're on the upper course, the drivable par four, and I'm waiting on you guys. You're in the group in front of me. And I'm like 40 yards from the green. I just sit down on the grass, and I'm just watching you. And, you know, you're off the side of the green, and you got wedge in your hand. And then Charlie comes over. I think he's caddying for you. And I think you guys decided to putt it. And, you know, you left it about – I'm sure he said it was going to be quick when it got on. I can just see what he's saying, because I would have told you the same thing. And you left it about, I don't know, 15 feet short from where I was. And I had in my mind, and I was just thinking to myself, like, I've got to refrain from saying, well, what the hell kept that out? You know, like, shit, what's going on? So I'm just like, wow, this is bad. And then I'm watching you, and you drain the putt, and then I was like, you know what, I got to do something funnier. I just started doing push-ups out in the middle of the fairway. And Wardo looked to me, and like, yeah, do the push-ups, Nighthawk. You got it.
Oh, my God. So obviously, so the place isn't overly stiff, right?
Far from
no,
it.
No, God, no. Not at all. Like, everybody that I've, you know, caddied, 600-plus members out there, and I've probably only caddied for, God, I'd say maybe like 150 or 200 of them. You know, it's hard to meet everybody, but everybody I've met out there is super cool. Like, you would never know that, you know, everybody there is some kind of bigwig, CEO, right. vice president, if you will, of anything. But,
well, yeah, it does carry weight. In fact, when we were sitting down with Lee Jansen, right, here's a guy who two-time U.S. Open winner, and right out of the gate, I say, you know, we miss our boy Wardo on the show today. He's out at Whisper Rock, and watch, if you look at the Facebook video, Wardo, you see his face, he's like, like, ooh. Like, that was fancy even for a two-time U.S. Open winner, right? It's a big place.
So hey.
It's super big. Actually, you mentioned Lee Jansen twice now already, and I've got to tell you, this just made me think of a story, and this may be one of the most epic stories. I've got a few of them, but I'm caddying for Lee. You know, Carl, our caddy master, sends me out to the range. He's like, you know what, just leave Lee alone today. Don't touch his clubs. Just let him do his thing. You know, I'm like, all right, you know, because I'm a talker. Yeah. He's like, just don't talk a lot today. I'm like, you got it, boss. So I'm 16 holes in, and I haven't said a word to Lee all day. You know, I'm helping him a little bit, but not really. And we're on a par five, and I'm like, you know, Lee, I wanted to tell you, I grew up kind of watching you playing golf, and, like, you know, I remember back when you were playing, you and Payne Stewart were, like, head-to-head at Olympic Club, and that was one of my favorite, like, all-time U.S. Opens. You know, I'm a diehard Euro fan. I love Payne Stewart. I know you guys got along or whatever. I said, I just remember, you know, you beating Payne there at the end and, you know, winning the U.S. Open. And he looks at me and he goes, kid, I beat the rest of the field, too.
did he really?
Kid, I beat the rest of the field, too. And I was like, okay, kind of put me in my place a little bit.
Was he jerky about it?
No, I wasn't jerky about it at all. It kind of, you know, it's just kind of like, hey, you know, I beat the rest of the field, too. And, you know, hey, yeah, that kind of made me think and realize, you know, you're right. You got to think about it from that perspective, from a player's perspective. He did. He beat 150 guys that week. So it's like.
Well, you know what's. Something you said earlier, as a caddy, the ability to read people is important, right? And
right.
So even leading into this interview. You know, I spoke to some folks who had either played in a charity gig or knew Lee Jansen, and they too said, "Hey, Sully, he's you know, you got to keep this thing a little bit on the up and up. You know, don't get too wacky." And so I went in mildly fearful. Good news is I had a few Tito's after the round of golf, so I was loose anyway. And he ended up being a really good guy. But to your point, it was funny. You know, I'd ask a few questions. Like, oh, you know, hey, in fact, we asked the question, for $500,000, would you play a Pink Lady golf ball on the Champions Tour this year?
And Rocco immediately says, done. Rocco immediately says, I'm all in. This is something we could work out. And Lee's like, I need a huge number. I need a, you know, so he's got a little bit of that, you know, I'm still kind of big time, which yeah, I suppose you have to.
Right.
Right. I mean, you can't turn into an old man just out there, you know, playing Saturday golf, you know. So I was impressed. He was really nice to us.
All right. You know? So we're going to take this to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to hear about the collage, the menagerie of nicknames that have been given to you over the years. And you even came home with a new one from me this week. So when
I
we
did.
Come back.
Yes, I did.
Among others. All right. Hey, listen, we're having a great time. Steve Hawker, he's a caddy out at Whisper Rock Golf Club out in Scottsdale. And we love caddies, my brother. So, hey, welcome back. It is Monday at 3 o'clock on the Golf Underground on ESPN Radio.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
Do you have retirement dreams about perfecting your swing and spending your time on the green? Or maybe you have a bucket list of golf courses you'd like to travel to. Whatever your financial goals are, Mariner Wealth Advisors is your advocate. We take the same care in understanding where you stand today as we do in understanding where you want to be in the future. Then, we help you set a personalized plan to help you achieve your long-term vision. Contact Mariner Wealth Advisors today to start your financial planning journey. Visit MarinerWealthAdvisors.com to find a location near you.
Mariner Wealth Advisors, otherwise known as MWA, is an SEC-registered investment advisor. Registration of an investment advisor does not imply a certain level of skill or training. For additional information about MWA, including fees and services, please contact MWA or refer to the disclosures on our website. Please read the disclosure statement carefully before you invest or send money. This advertisement should not be considered investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities.
Hey, Brian Sullivan here, and I've got a tip for you. You've got to head to Unforked. It's an amazing restaurant. What I like about these guys is they promise to buy and support seasonal, local ingredients first. And I love the fact that they source from smaller, family, GAP-certified, or organic farms, prime-going regions, artisan producers. All I'm getting at is, if you like fresh stuff, Unforked is the place to be. And like they say it, fork or no fork, you can be sure you're getting the highest quality, socially responsible ingredients possible. And not to mention, it's delicious. So whether you're out south or downtown, stop by Unforked for a delicious and healthy meal. Sheridan's Unforked, honest, clean food.
No word, just take this all in, right? Yeah, keep it going. Keep going, Nathan. All right.
I mean, it was down in, you know, the Zurich Classic was down in New Orleans. So the timing of Fleener's song was fantastic because they're in Louisiana. Now, this is calling Baton Rouge, but it's not bad, right?
Pretty good.
Now, listen, there's we had Colt Nost on the radio program, right?
Yeah.
And he's got a new show on XM Radio.
Yeah.
Called Gravy and Sleaze. We got it. I think we gave him his start, too.
And you're so instrumental in everyone's career.
It's not me. We're a team here, Sugar. Okay,
we are a team.
But he did say he was talking about Fleener on the deal. So here I am. I'm listening to Colt Nost on the way here today. By the way, it is a great show, Gravy and Sleaze. Check it out. Unfortunately, it's at 3 o'clock on Mondays. You're not interested in that, are you? You'd rather be on the Golf Underground.
Exactly. Okay. Golf Underground.
Because we got Hawker, my man Hawker, calling in from. Hey, where are you, Hawker? You're in Arizona right now, right?
Yeah, I'm in Scottsdale. Hey,
my boy goes to Arizona State, so I'm a big fan, my friend.
Oh, ASU, Sun Devil.
Yeah. The girls' pictures that he sends back to the mom and dad were a little suspect of the clothing or lack of that they're wearing out there. But my daughter will not go there.
It's hot out. It's hot out here. You know, I mean, even you know my girlfriend's the same way. You know, we gotta wear less clothing out here. You know?
All right, Wardo, take it away.
Where are you going? Where are you going with this clothing comment? Though, hold on. Now. I wanna...
All you have to do is go to Instagram and put in ASU. My wife and I again we shriek. We're like, my goodness, go get him, Jake. I'm going. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, no. Can you believe that, honey? He went to Vegas with her. That's ridiculous. And of course, you know, I'm like chest bumping, you know, my buddies. All right, so you Wardo was mentioned. You've got some names, Wardo. What's your favorite name for your boy Hawker?
Well, I've got a couple favorite nicknames for Hawker. Hawker, why don't you tell him how you got the nickname the Nighthawk?
Well, that was all you, dude. So the first day, I don't even think we had teed off yet. I think we were on the range warming up, or we were getting by the carts, and you asked me what my, you know, what's Shocker? And I was like, well, Shocker's my name, Steve Hawker, and that's been with me for a while, and guys call me Shock or Shocker. And you mentioned, I don't even know how, maybe you can help me out and remember how it came about, but I just remember you saying the Nighthawk. That's what I'm going to call you.
You dubbed him?
So the Nighthawk, he said, my name's Steve Hawker, and I said, well, Hawk. And I figured when he goes out at night, he becomes the Nighthawk. And so,
there it is.
Wardo, he killed it. You're telling me that Wardo trademarked this thing for you?
Wardo did that, and literally the next day, actually, I didn't even think before the end of that round, or round like 2 and 3, I think other caddies were calling me that. You know, I had told them what, you know, Wardo had called me, and I was like, yeah, I guess I'm the Nighthawk now.
Now when he goes to the caddy shack, everybody's calling him the Nighthawk.
Oh, it's perfect.
Yeah, Nighthawk.
Okay, but now my favorite nickname for you is clearly VP. So why don't you tell the listeners how you got VP?
Well, this is, yeah, definitely what I've become known as. And so the VP story, I was at work, normal day. I got sent out to the range to caddy for a guy named Dan Quayle, who I have come to know very well now. I know everything about him, actually, a lot more than I used to. And so what happened is, you know, I get walked out to the range. I get introduced to him as Dan. Hey, Dan, I'm Steve. Nice to meet you. You know, he's got a couple Irish guys out with him, and hosting these guys in very deep accents. And, you know, we're out playing, and the first few holes, you know, I'm calling him Dan this, Dan that, and all these Irish guys keep calling him, you know, VP. Hey, VP this, you know, VP that. And finally, on, like, the eighth hole, this one guy in the group, real loud guy, he's like, hey, VP. You know, they start chatting, and I say, Dan, come here. I got to ask you a question. You know, these guys have been calling you VP all day. I said, why do these guys keep calling you VP? He goes, well, you know, I was the vice president. And I was like, of what? Yeah. And he looks at me. He stops walking. He looks at me. He lowers his glasses. He goes, of the United States. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I put my hand over my face and my mouth, and I was just, I'm pretty sure my face turned bright red for three holes. And I, the one Irish guy who heard me say it almost fell over laughing so hard. So,
what'd Quayle do?
Quayle was, you know, I was helping him with his putting stroke. He was decelling on everything. He was using a long putter at the time, you know, and when I was calling him Dan on the first few holes, I was like, Dan, you know, you got to accelerate that right hand through the stroke with that long putter. Come on. You know, he started making some putts, and then I asked him, you know, why they kept calling him VP, and, you know, I was pretty embarrassed for a few holes, but I think he drained about, you know, 100 feet worth of putts the rest of the way in. And
hey, if Lee Jansen was at one time the vice president of the United States and you said that to him, how would it go?
He'd ask me what the yardage is at sea level. That's what he'd ask me.
That is a fact. That is.
So have you become Quayle's household guy now, or what?
So I've caddied for Quayle a bunch of times now. He loves it. He's had input on it. He wants it to say, he wants my jumper to say Veep like the show. And, you know, I've caddied for him and his sons, and his sons told me, you know, no hard feelings. You're not the first person that's done that to our dad. And that was a good laugh. And, you know, he's a great guy. Like, every time I see him, he loves it. You know, we take photos together, and the story has gone so far. I mean, I meet guys, and they don't know me, and I'll be wearing, like, my jumper that says Shocker, and they'll start talking about the VP story. And I chime in. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. That's me.
No way.
You know, and then they want to hear it from me. But that story has gone so far, and it's a good laugh. You know, people love it. It's probably one of the top stories at Whisper Rock for dumbest caddy moments. And, you know, like, I don't know where I'd be without that story right now. I don't think I'd be on the underground with you boys, that's for sure.
No, you're on the underground because you're an amazing caddy. But I had heard the VP story because there's about 15 members that live here in Kansas City that are out at the Rock. So I was privy. You were kind of like a legend to me before I had even met you.
Well, you know, and speaking of nicknames, you know, let's go back to this member guest, you and me, Wardo. So, the round that I didn't get to caddy for you, I'm waiting because we're the B group. We're behind you guys. And you hit the very first tee shot of your last match. You hit it behind this tree on 10 on the upper. And You're sitting in your cart, and I'm, again, sitting in the fairway waiting for you guys to get out of the way so my group can play. And I'm like, hey, Wardo, you got a Sergio shot coming up. And you look at me, and you're kind of like, oh, damn it. You know, like, oh, it's trees in my way. And I'm like, oh, you got it. It's a Sergio shot. And then I'm standing back there, and I'm watching. I'm probably like 60 yards behind you, and yeah, I watch you hit this shot, and it's still in the air. And I go, Sergio Wardo. So I started calling you Sergio Wardo the rest of the trip, I think. And then Jimmy got thrown around a lot. I think you and I were calling each other Jimmy a lot.
He likes the Jimmy. He likes Jimmy.
Jimmy's a good one.
He loves the Jimmy.
He loves the Jimmy. So, anytime he made a putt, good read there, Jimmy.
So tell me, I was asking you after the round about the second most embarrassing point. Tell us the Ray Whitney story on second most famous guy you didn't know who it was.
Oh, yeah, I told you about that. So I get paired with a couple of good sticks in this early morning round. They're gambling or whatever, doing their thing. And I ask one of the guys in the group, they're like, you know who Ray is, right? And I was like, no, who's Ray? He's like, oh, he used to play in the NHL, you know, big time. Was in the league for a while. And I was like, oh, really? I said, watch this. You're gonna love what I do now. You know, I'm gonna get him good. So on like the third hole, he hits it in the bunker, and I said, this is my moment right here. So he hits a shot out of the bunker, hits a good one, stripes it, good layup or whatever. And I'm in there raking the bunker, and I go, hey, Ray, you know, man, you make a pretty good move with the ball. I was like, do you play any sports growing up?
But you knew this, right? But you knew he played hockey.
Well, yeah, because I just found out like a hole or two before, you know, and he told me that, and I told the member that the other guy that I was with, I can't remember who it was, but I told him, I was like, "Watch, I'm gonna watch me set this up. This will be good. I'll ask him a good question," and I just kind of set myself up to like ask him this, and then like you know, I was raking the bunker. I'm like, "Yeah, Ray, you make a pretty good rip at the ball. It's like you play any sports growing up," and he kind of looked at me all funny. And he goes, "What?" I was like, "Yeah, you play any sports growing up?" And he goes, "Yeah, I played hockey in the NHL for 20 years." And I was like, "Oh, I was like, I'm sorry, man. I had no idea." I was like, "That makes sense, you know." So I always try to make you know everybody feel like the same. You know, I try to treat everybody the same. Like you know, guys who are high profile individuals that you know need to be brought down to a looper level. Sometimes,
yeah,
you know, like hey,
you know, so, I got to think 90% of the folks. They go to the golf course to be a normal guy, right? I mean, there's very few jerks you carry a bag for, right? So I think it's funny. And, in fact, I think the less you know, the better off you are, right? Because then you're not tainted. Oh, you could just be straight up with the guy, you know?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It's really good when I know less. It really is. It's better that way.
All right. Well, listen, man, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we'll do some closing questions.
And guess who that was brought to you by? That was brought to you by Dismal River. Guess what we're doing this summer? We're going to go up to Dismal River, where they're going to come get us, pick us up, and we're going to fly on up there and play some golf.
Another fancy Wardo trip.
Hey, Nighthawk, you want to come up to Dismal River with us?
Absolutely.
All right, you're in.
It's Western Nebraska's premier golf destination.
It is good.
But you do go to dismalriver.com. It is unbelievable. I'm so fired up, right? Because I love Irish golf. You're talking about Irish guys. That place looks off the charts. And so that's one of my I can't wait for summer trips. All right. Hey, you're on the Golf Underground on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City 94.5 FM.
Wardo, I'm so sick of my handicap rising, and every year I feel like I'm losing yardage. Do you have a solution for me?
Of course I do. SwingFit is a goal-focused platform that is fitness-based, centered around getting your golf game better. SwingFit will help you become more biomechanically sound in the gym and on the golf course. From the golf perspective, what you're going to see is a series of movement patterns and drills in order to get you better and to help you achieve your goals. You will be introduced to some exercise centered around increasing golf strength and club head speed.
The team at SwingFit is TPI certified, which is the gold standard for those tour players you watch on Sundays. If you want to take the next steps to hitting the ball like them, call 913-269-1300 for more information or go to thegolfstable.com.
Are you ready to focus more on your golf game this year instead of enduring the process of building a brand new home? Look no further than BCI Bowen Custom Homes. They will help you determine the best opportunity for you and your family given your current situation. Do I do a remodel? Do I build the dream house I've always wanted?
Your next home might be waiting for you from the many specs and furnished models they have available in Southern Johnson County. Whether you're located in Shawnee or Leawood, Mike McCown and his award-winning team are interested in helping you determine what may be best for you and your family. Again, if you're looking to spend more time on the links and eliminate the stressors of the building remodel process, call BCI Bowen at 913-444-2369 or on the web at bcibowen.com.
Dismal River Club is a five-star private golf and hunting club located in the sand hills of western Nebraska. 36 holes of championship golf, including a Tom Doak design and a Jack Nicklaus design, a private runway, luxury cabins, and incredible meals prepared by their executive chef make Dismal River Club one of the nation's most unique and sought-after golf and outdoor experiences. There is truly something for everyone. Visit DismalRiver.com to get more information about the new spa activities, family activities, membership opportunities, and corporate retreat packages.
Welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. So, Nathan, that's better. So you're starting to kick up the music a little bit, you know?
Nathan's dialed today.
Like, I mean, Coldplay for middle-aged men, it's like, I mean, it's perfect for us, right? It's not that hip anymore, yet you kind of feel like it's hip as an old man like me. Hey, put on some Coldplay!
You know what, though? We're probably the only golf show in the country that we have middle-aged women listening.
You think so?
I know so.
What are the, what's her name, other than Leanne Sullivan?
Turtle, we've got.
Turtle, we do.
Yeah, we've got a lot. Got
and their
lot.
Friends.
Yeah.
That's good. Hey, listen, we're having a great program. By the way, this segment, the Lesson T, is brought to you by Midwest Golf Simulators. Go to Midwest Golf Simulators. It ends in an S, by the way, .com. They are wonderful over there. There's a great Midwest Golf Simulator right there in the golf stable. That's Kevin Ward's teaching instructional place, which, by the way, Wardo, I had about four people, no lie, this weekend at a dance competition come up and say, hey, you know, been listening to the program, really love it. My son is in high school. He'd like to get in the golf stable. I had four separate times. So, my friend, you are the new Chuck Cook.
Does that mean the kids are they're quitting dance to take up golf?
No. it was like the sons of the guys who were miserable next to me watching the dance of their daughters.
I like
talking
it.
About their sons who would rather give up baseball and get into the stable.
Yeah, they should do it
and learn how to dominate from you. All right, hey, we're with Steve Hawker. He is he is the VP caddy of Whisper Rock out in Scottsdale. Hey, you know what I told him, Hawker, at the break? I told my boy Wardo that you remind me of Dante.
I love it. Oh, my God. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
I was listening to your guys' shows, and that one, Dante's show, is great. He's epic.
He really is. You should have seen Wardo's face during this interview, right? And Nathan had to have he's our producer, had to have the swear button. I mean, he was like Elton John. He was pressing that thing so much.
Oh, man. That's
right. So, Hawker, this guy, Dante, lives out at Rancho La Quinta, which is about a four-hour drive from Whisper Rock. So I think that me and you play Sully and Dante in a match this next winter.
Oh, my gosh. That's a great idea.
Oh, man, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
It's on.
Was it a neutral? What are we going to do, a neutral site?
No, yeah. Well, Dante's a member out at La Quinta, so...
Oh, we just go out over there.
Yeah, but the amount of substances he'll put in his body will make it neutral by the time
heard,
we...
And from what I heard on the show, he pronounced himself as a 20 handicap. I don't know.
That's cheating. No, I haven't seen him. The last time I golfed with him was in Vegas, and true story, we're on the 17th hole, and we're playing, there's three of us, and there's a single who comes up behind us and says, hey, guys, can I join you? And Dante perks up, he pulls his pants down to his ankles and starts walking around like a penguin on the tee box. This guy was absolutely shocked, as was I. And so we can look forward to some penguin walking out in La Quinta if we're lucky. How's that for you?
Okay. All right. Nighthawk, we got some rapid fire questions for you. If you want to elaborate, you're welcome to, but we're going to start firing some questions at you. Worst,
all right, cool.
Worst tip you've ever gotten as a caddy?
This was probably before working at Whisper Rock. I got a $0 tip because I was with two ladies and two men. And they were, I don't know, God, like 70 years old, both couples, and literally they were like, it's all taken care of, right? And I was like, well, they're like, okay, thanks, bye. And I was like, you know what? Well, it's okay. Just, you know, I'm glad it was over with. So that's that was fine. They, you know, sometimes when people come out here on vacations and they get that, they pay for the caddy through, like, the pro shop, yeah, and they think it's all included.
But so you know what? That's, by the way, that's the pro or the caddy master's job to convey that message. That that drives me crazy, right? Because it's not your job to go stick your hand out.
Well, you're right. Well, at that point, it was, you know, I was working at a different place, and the caddy master was probably about 10 years younger than I was. So,
right. Okay, so so I posted a great picture of you and Quail on all the social media outlets. Have you ever, underneath that jumper that you wear on the reg, have you ever gone commando underneath that bad boy?
I have never actually gone commando. Now, speaking on behalf of the Shack, I would say that there's probably been a handful of guys that have done it, and it's not a pretty sight. It really isn't. You don't want to be involved in that group. You just don't. You get some big, bulky guy who's sweating really good, and he's gone commando. Ooh. You know you know what you're in for. You're in for a brown stripe when he gets down to read a putt.
Oh, so true. Imagine Fleener commando.
Oh, that's bad.
I mean, it'd be like a grizzly bear. Imagine just the hair coming out of the bib.
That's bad. That is bad. All right. Are you a better green reader, sober or under the influence?
You better watch. You better watch what you say here, my friend.
Let's elaborate. When I'm sober reading greens while working, I'm very streaky. So like, it depends on the player too. But like, if I've got the player's speed kind of dialed in, and I'm like myself, I'm a streaky. I'm either really bad or I'm really good. So it's like I'm gonna know if the guy. Like I can tell by the first few holes for a group too. If I'm with a group, you know, like it's gonna be a rough day because I'm having a tough time. So I don't tell them that, but I know in my head, you know, it's, we'll see what happens. But then as for like under the influence, when I'm out playing on my own and I'm getting a little sideways, if you will. I think I play and read greens better a little bit when I've under the influence. You know, I'm just trying to bang it in the back of her throat. So,
yep.
You know, whatever.
Yep. So true.
So
so true.
So next question. As famous as you've become in the golfing community with the VP and the VP caddy bib, does that translate? Do you wear the caddy bib out in public to maybe pick up women?
So, you know, I want to say I wasn't. Was I wearing it when I met my girlfriend? No, I wasn't. But that would have been great. I wear that thing. I wear that thing everywhere, dude. I wake up. I put it on. Literally, I walk out of the house. Like everywhere, when I walk out, people see me and they're like, "Oh, what's this guy, a janitor with his name on his bib?" You know, whatever. So.
Do they make you wear the whites out there in 110 degree weather?
Oh yeah.
Oh man, we wear the whites until like the middle or end of May, and you know when it's. When May rolls around, it's about a nice Florida day inside the jumper, if you know what I mean. It's 120% humidity and it's not raining, you know. So
I love it.
It's a little rough, but you get used to it. You know, you figure out ways to cool yourself down out there. I won't get too in depth with that.
Sure,
but,
sure. Keeps you warm too. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right. Last question, then we'll let you run. What is your dog's name? We brought your dog up. What is your dog's name, and do you snuggle with your girl and your dog?
Where do you come up with this stuff?
We were having a good conversation. My dog is a Great Dane. Her name is Molly, and my girlfriend, who's a smoke show, she does not allow the dog to snuggle with us in the bed because our dog kicks like a mule. And when she's sleeping. So dog does not snuggle, but MGD we call Molly.
Molly the Great Dane.
I've got this Molly the Great Dane. So MGD is her little nickname. I've got this, I've had this light since college. It's like a neon light that says MGD in all yellow. And I've got it right next to her bed in her little corner of the apartment. And that's where old MGD hangs out. And she's a kicker. When she dreams, she is kicking the wall. I mean, there's been blood marks.
Hey, which,
the wall,
by the way, Hawker, I was lucky enough to sleep in a big king-size bed with Wardo down at the Dell Match Play.
Oh, he so kicks fun. Just yeah. like MGD. I mean, granted, I was snoring a little bit, but I was just ecstatic to be sitting next or laying next to him.
You're messed up.
That was amazing. All right, hey, listen, Hawker, you're a good man. We're going to come out and visit you. We're going to go see my boy at ASU. We're going to throw a few back, play a little golf, and then maybe we'll head out to La Quinta. But this has been a blast, my brother.
Thanks for coming on, Hawker.
Sully, Warno, thank you for having me on, and good luck with everything, boys, and I hope I can come on again down the road.
Absolutely. Right, hey, listen, you're on the Golf Underground on ESPN Radio.
This is Golf Underground on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM.
You buy new clubs, you read golf magazines, you watch the Golf Academy, and you pound balls on the driving range until your hands bleed, but your score never changes. Well, a true golf simulator from Midwest Golf Simulators in Olathe, Kansas is the answer. Play golf every day in the comfort of your own home. The easy-to-read instant feedback you get after every shot allows you to see what your swing flaws are, which allows you to make the adjustments you need to get your ball to go where you want it to go. So lower your scores and be the player you always thought you could be. Call Dave at Midwest Golf Simulators for more info or a demo at 913-915-4108.
Welcome back, Golf Underground, ESPN Radio. Your boys Sully and Wardo back together again. Like Sonny and Cher, I missed them. We go two different directions. Of course, while you were playing golf, I was watching men my age play in the Champions Tour Bass Pro Shop Legends of Golf.
You're just so much prettier than all those guys out there, though.
Well, I tell you what. When I thought that my age would allow me to play in the Champions Tour, I had mixed feelings. You know, I didn't feel as sucky at the game, but I still felt old. Right. But you're going to help me with this. That's why this lesson tee brought to you by Cowell Insurance Group, the leader when it comes to workers' comp. So, all right, Wardo, you know you've been working on me to get rid of this flip, trying to make me compress the ball down. Give me one thing that I will work on, and other folks like me who are looking for some extra distance now that the weather's getting better.
Yeah, so what you're going to do is you're going to go out to the range and really try to flight the ball. A lot of the guys that flip it through the impact zone, you're going to really try to hit it low. You're going to take a divot. You're going to get your stance a little narrower than normal, slightly open, and play the ball back. And you're going to feel like you take it back to about your waist high or your right kneecap if you struggle doing it. And then you're going to accelerate through. Most people that get their backswing too long and broke it down, they try to flip it to speed up through the hitting zone.
Yep.
Just ask Club Pro Guy with his noodle. But that's something I want to see you do, really try to stay short and wide. And then really try to keep your right palm or your right hand through the zone to the ground and not let the hand go to the sky or to the clouds. So that's what you're going to work on, quiet lower body, and hit little punches.
Yeah, well, I will say your helps thus far has been, it's been working a little bit, buddy. So I'm playing better. And you know what? If other people flip it like I do or just plain need to improve, you're going to go to thegolfstable.com because Kevin Ward, he is a Kansas City heck. He's the Midwest best instructor. There's my selfish plug for you, buddy. Hey, so listen, you brought up Club Pro Guy. In fact, we'll be in this very studio this week interviewing Club Pro Guy. Next week, we're going to be playing the Lee Jansen Rocco Media interview. We got a lot of fun.
I love it. There's too much going on.
Huh?
We got web.com back in town. We got a lot going on.
All right, next Monday, Wardo will be qualifying for the web.com. So join us next week on the Golf Underground, ESPN Radio.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals. Yeah.